And welcome to How Do You Feel, the show that is dedicated to your health and your wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I'm your host, Lorraine King, and today I am visiting with Justin Dwyer. His title is Environmental Health Practitioner, and I'll let him tell you what that means. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you for having me back. I love being here.
I know, I love having you. So what is an environmental health practitioner?
So essentially, I'm a glorified health inspector. I have a license, licensed environmental health practitioner from the state of Illinois, which allows me to basically practice public health and kind of oversee some of our programs and at the Peoria City County Health Department.
Okay, so the listeners are probably wondering, what does the health, what does farmer's market have to do with the health topic? And he's going to explain this. So Justin, tell me the role of Peoria City County Health Department when it comes to farmer's markets.
So environmental health, my division, our role is basically on the food safety side. So, you know, as public health as a whole, we want people to have access to wholesome, healthy foods. We know that nutrition is key, you know, for, you know, long, enjoyable lives. So, you know, environmental health on our side, we really want to make sure that that food is safe. So when you do go to a farmer's market and you're purchasing produce, meat, poultry, eggs, you know, any of those products that you're going to find down there, you know that it's going to be a safe product for you to bring home and provide nutrients to your family.
So, Justin, do you know approximately how many farmers markets operate in Peoria, or is it a great, great number?
So, I believe we have right around five that I'm aware of that will be starting in the next few weeks.
Okay.
So, we have the Riverfront Market on Saturday mornings. That starts in just a couple weeks, I believe. We'll also have one in Peoria Heights at Tower Park on Thursdays. I also believe Junction City is going to do one on Thursdays.
What time on Thursdays?
What's that?
What time on Thursdays?
It'll be Thursday afternoon. I'm not sure. I haven't gotten the official times yet.
Okay.
From those market managers, but usually they start around 3 o'clock and might run till 6 or 7.
Okay. And how long has the health department been engaged in monitoring the sale of food products at farmers markets?
Oh, I would say around 20 years.
Wow.
We've been a part of that. So when farmers markets started becoming big, we definitely took an interest to make sure that the product was, you know, wholesome and healthy and safe for consumers.
Okay. If somebody, I mean, we call them farmers markets, but it's not always farmers bringing the product, is it? Or is it?
So it depends on what market you have. So the Riverfront Market, they're very big on local product. Mm-hmm. And making sure that that product is being grown and sourced locally. But, you know, of course, we do know there are some of those products that show up at the market that don't grow well around here. And I think, you know, a good example are the peaches. So when peach season hits, some of the farmers might have peaches down there. You know, obviously we're not really growing a lot of that around here. Most of them are coming out of like Georgia, and down south, and they'll bring them in, but it's still, you know, it's a way for us to get those products that we really want.
Where do the farmers get their peaches from if we don't grow them around here?
So some of them will import from other farms, especially earlier in the season.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of the big things to remember when you start going to the market, you know, the fruits, the vegetables, you know, they're not going to be a lot right off the bat. Mm-hmm. You know, we really have to wait for the season to kick up when you want to get those locally sourced products.
So when does the season kick off?
So I'd say about a month in. So June, I think, is when we really start seeing a lot of the fruits and vegetables and a lot of those products, you know, from local. Besides, you know, some of the root vegetables that we're going to find. And then, you know, some like the lettuce and that's what we're going to start seeing right now as the market's open.
So when do the people plant those things to have them ready in June?
So most of them are already starting the planting process right now.
Okay.
And then the other thing too, so a lot of them grow, a lot of the farms might grow in hoop houses for some of their products. They also will start, you know, seeds ahead of time. And then as those plants start to grow and we get away from frost, then they're going to start putting those plants in the ground.
Okay. Now, when people go to the farmer's market and buy fruit, what kind of precautions should they take or should they be looking for, you know, with the product?
So make sure that the product, you know, seems like it's, you know, intact. You don't want any rotten spots or anything like that. The one thing I will say is ugly fruit needs love too. And just because it's ugly does not mean it's bad. I definitely want to say that. I think it's very true, but yeah, just make sure, you know, if it's rotted or something like that, just avoid it. If you do see something like that, just, you know, let the farmer know. Probably just kind of an oversight on their part.
But if it has an unusual shape and otherwise everything's okay.
Then. Yeah, exactly. Like I said, ugly fruits and vegetables need love too.
Okay. Now, does a business have to have certain characteristics to be classified as a farmer's market?
So it depends. So at a farmer's market, we're going to see a lot of different types of products. So the first one we're definitely obviously going to see is farmers. You know, they're selling fruits and vegetables. You know, maybe they have unpopped popcorn or, you know, various things like that. You know, those farm products, those agricultural products. We don't, as Peoria County, regulate those. Most of those are regulated on a federal level through what's called FSMA. And basically what that is it's the Food Safety Modernization Act, which was put in place under the Obama administration. And basically was modernizing safe food safety across the board. So those farms tend to be more regulated on the FSMA side if there are certain sizes.
So the federal government has people check product at farmers markets if it's regulated by them?
So it's not really that. It's more like how they're doing at the farm. They have to have a food safety plan. We tend to call it like food defense. So, you know, making sure that you have these plans in place if, you know, if there's a spill, you know, or something like that, you're not going to use this area of the farm. You know, you're checking your product. You're making sure it's wholesome, healthy. They're sampling their water to make sure that the water is a safe, potable supply, you know, to rinse those products off with.
So large farms have to register with the federal government? Is that what you're saying?
Basically, yes.
No, so, but the little smaller ones, mom and pops don't, do they?
Yeah, I believe it's 25, if they're making 25,000 or more, they don't, or they would fall under FSMA and some of those regulations.
Oh, that's, as long as we've known each other, I never heard about FSMA before.
So, and that's just one small part, you know, the farmer side, that's one small part of that entire act.
Okay. Now, we know at the farmer's market, they're going to be selling fruits and vegetables, but are there other items for consumption that are sold at those markets? And we know there are, but like, what's the extent of products that's sold there?
So on the other side of the I guess we'll say the farmer's side of this, we're going to see things like meat, poultry, eggs. So, you know, farmers that are raising cattle, pigs, have chickens, and then also, you know, supplying eggs so you can get those farm fresh products there. You know, they go through, so they have to get licensing under Illinois Department of Agriculture or the USDA. And then what they're going to do is those products get processed in a licensed facility under inspection, and then they get packaged, and then they'll bring them to the market and they'll sell. So I know, like, the Riverfront Market has several places that are selling meat and eggs. I believe the startup market that's going to be in the Heights has at least one vendor that they're going to bring in that I believe sells meat and eggs. But yeah, that's something else that you'll see at the market.
So is it raw meat that's not cooked, is it?
Raw meat, yes.
And so should a consumer be looking to see if it's refrigerated properly?
So most of those meats are actually going to be sold frozen.
Oh.
Because it's an easier way for them to maintain those temperatures. Obviously, the eggs are not. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to freeze the eggs. But The raw meats are going to be frozen. And then that way, you know, you take it home and then make sure you're, you know, thawing under refrigeration is the best way of doing it. Let it thaw for a day or two in your refrigerator and then enjoy.
Do they have directions on there?
Yes. So with raw meats, there are labeling laws. And one of those is the safe handling, which talks about proper temperatures. The other thing, too, is, you know, one of the beautiful things about your farmers is if you don't know what to do with a product or you're not sure what to do with that product, mm-hmm. ask them. I mean, they'll tell you all the time, oh, yeah, we love making it like this or we love doing something like that. I mean, these people, they very much love what they do. And they have a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience. And they'll tell you, you know, different ways you can prepare those products, especially if it's something new that you've never had before.
So they might even have recipes that you can take to go with the product.
So I haven't really seen many farmers do that. But I definitely would say they'll give you some good advice.
Okay. I guess there would be a printing cost if they did that.
Yeah. And a lot of farmers are already operating on a small, thin margin.
Okay. Now we, at grocery stores and other stores, we always see, I mean, even like stores like TJ Maxx, we always see these reusable bags. And people are buying fruits and vegetables and meats and other things. Should they be conscious about what they store together or separation of meat from fruit and that kind of thing?
Yes, very much. So we want to make sure anytime we're bagging these products, whether we're using reusables or not, you know, keep your meats separated from your fruits and vegetables. So think about cooking temperatures. Mm-hmm. In public health, we refer to things as kill stops. So heating a product is a kill stop. That's how we kill off, you know, bacteria, viruses, things like that. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, we cook meat to a proper temperature. Mm-hmm. But your apples may not be cooked to a proper temperature because you want to enjoy them, you know, raw and then just mm-hmm. enjoy that flavor. But if for some reason they become contaminated, you know, now there's always that issue, which is also another important thing is the fruits and vegetables, the produce that you're buying at the market, they are field harvested and they have been basically large debris has been removed. You still need to wash them. They are not ready to eat. So make sure you're washing your produce.
That's the good advice because I know people might try a grape at a grocery store, and I've never been able to do that because there's no place to wash it.
So I've always had issues with that. Like, I've had friends that do that. I'm like, well, there's two issues. One, I'm now touching that product. I have not washed my hands. I've been touching other things. Mm-hmm. And if I choose not to get it, well, I just touched a product that I'm leaving there. And then that's the other thing is that the product's not washed. I don't know what's on it. I don't know who touched it before. Grapes and some of those, sometimes it's rolling the dice if it's a good product or not. I don't tend to taste them at the at the grocery store or at the market. I wait till I get home and hope that I got a good product.
Okay. Well, I've got a few more questions to ask Justin, but before I do, I want to remind any listeners who may have just tuned in to 106.3 WPNV that you're listening to How Do You Feel, the show that's dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. Today, I'm visiting with Justin Dwyer, who's the environmental health practitioner for the Peoria City County Health Department. And he's talking about food safety at farmers markets. So we've already said that, you know, you should be careful about utilizing reusable bags and not mix fruits and vegetables in with meat, even though the meat may be frozen. And it sounds if you are going to patronize the farmers market after you make your purchase, you probably should head home because you don't want the frozen meat to start thawing out while you do other shopping.
Absolutely. Yep. And the other thing I'll touch home with on this is if you are using reusable bags, which I love, I think that's great. I do them myself. Just make sure, you know, they're clean. And if they're not, just throw them through the wash. Make sure that they're clean, you know, and safe. There's no debris or anything like that inside of them. Just to make sure that you're not contaminating any of your products.
So people should treat those like their regular laundry, you know, wash it and clean it on a regular basis, not just keep using it and using it until it falls apart.
Agreed, yes.
Otherwise, you're making the situation worse.
You could.
Okay. Then, during the farmer's market, even though it's outdoors, should people still consider wearing masks since they're going to be mixing with people they don't know if they're vaccinated or not?
So I don't think we've really seen a lot, if we're looking at like COVID. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen a ton of outdoor transmission. You know, the big thing on that is if you are immune compromised and you feel safer wearing a mask, wear your mask.
Okay.
That's the big thing, you know, the big takeaway I tell people that, you know, and if you see somebody wearing a mask, there might be a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, they could be getting ready for a surgery or
that's right.
They could be immune compromised and, you know, going through, you know, chemotherapy or something like that. And, you know, you never really know why.
That's true.
That they're wearing it. And so, you know, I just, you know, I look at it as it's an act of kindness. You know, you don't know why they're wearing it. And I'm going to stay out of their way and I'm going to hope that I don't give them anything and protect them.
Yes, I remember I was told to wear my mask before surgery. The other thing is, would you recommend people using plastic gloves when you're touching all this different foods?
So, you know, we see in like the restaurant industry, the plastic gloves. The one thing that always scares me is plastic gloves, you know, the disposable gloves are not a replacement for hand washing.
Yes.
And sometimes people wear those gloves and then they kind of feel invincible. But we still have that concept of cross-contamination. You know, if you're wearing gloves and you pull money out of your wallet, now you're touching money and now you're touching food and then you're touching this. Or, you know, you swing by the, you know, if you're downtown at the riverfront, you go buy a pretzel. You know what I mean? There's lots of different ways you can contaminate. So, you know, plastic gloves are, you know, those gloves are good for certain situations, but definitely be mindful of cross-contamination.
I remember at a retail outlet that I was patronizing, and I was getting the wipes, wanted to get wipes to clean my cart, and the person went to get it for me. And I said, no, I want to get my own wipe. And they said, I have on gloves. And I said, the gloves you have on protect you. They're not protecting me because you're touching all these things. And then you expect me to take this from you. So let me pull my own wipe out.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that. Yep.
Okay. Now, what if I'm an individual who may be cultivating a garden so I can sell fruits and veggies? What kind of preparations do I make with the health department to be able to do that?
So for the most part, if you're leaving them whole intact, there's not going to be a lot of regulation on our end. But you can always reach out. We're all like I myself and a couple of the others. We're always happy to provide food safety education. Mm-hmm. So even if it's not something we're regulating, we're always happy to help. So if you want to know like what you can and can't do, you know, where you need to draw that line. So, for example, you know, if you're pulling, you know, your tomatoes and you want to sell those, there's not going to be regulation on our part as long as you're not cutting into them.
Okay.
But, you know, we're going to say, hey, you know, you can rinse the dirt off of them, but that's where it stops. And then remind your customers, anybody who's buying that product, that they need to make sure that they wash that product thoroughly before they start using it and eating it.
Now, earlier in that conversation, I heard you mention something about licenses. So who needs a license to sell food at the farmers markets?
So there are going to be a few different licenses that we have at the farmers markets. So, you know, we talked about the meat and the poultry and the eggs. They are going to have a license from us. We're going to conduct usually a monthly inspection just to make sure that their temperatures are being maintained. You know, they have the proper stamps on their products. There is going to be, you're going to find vendors that are cottage food. I know I've been on here talking about cottage food before.
I forgot what that is.
And, yep, so cottage food is where you're allowed to make certain products from your home. So you would register with Peoria County if you're a resident of Peoria County. And then you can sell those products. Mainly people use baked goods or jams and jellies that are canned. And but there's a few different things you can do. Then, you know, we're going to see, you know, the prepared foods. So, you know, down at the Riverfront Market, you know, there's, you know, going to be, you know, people making different types of foods that you can go and buy and, you know, eat right there or take home either way. So we're going to issue licenses for them as well.
Now, those people who may have things that they've cooked and they're put in jars, like mason jars and sealed, is there some kind of regulation attached to, you know, the degree that the food has to be cooked, or something to do with the seal, or how long it's good for?
So it's going to kind of be up to, like, what type of vendor we're working with. So canned goods, you're going to see, you're either going to find it, it's going to be like a commercial product that's being manufactured. If it's being made in a licensed establishment under our control, you know, we're going to be inspecting that. You know, they have to put proper dates and things like that on there. If it's a cottage food product, they just have to put the manufacturing date. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can always ask questions of those vendors. Hey, you know, once I open this, how long should I, you know, hold it for? Because the answer may be, you know, oh, once you open it, you shouldn't have it more than 7 days or 14 days. It just kind of depends on that product and how that product acts and what they know about the product.
And it probably shouldn't be one of those projects you have in your emergency stash, you know, in case of disaster, because it may not last that long.
No, probably not. I know, like, my emergency kit and the food that I have in there is long-term food storage, so then I know I don't have to trade things out all the time.
Now, do the licenses cost? Is there a fee associated with that?
So, yes, there are fees associated. The big one we get calls about is obviously cottage food, because people wanting to make products at home. Mm-hmm. That's $50, and that's the registration fee, and that's a calendar year. There are other fees, so like the farmers have different fees that are set by legislation. And then, you know, some of the other vendors, if they're working on a temporary event, there'll be a temporary event license fee, which is $55 for each event. We also have a year-long license that they can get as well. And that one's based on if you're from this county or if you're out of this county.
Okay. Now, if there's like a special event, say Exposition Gardens, I remember them advertising this breakfast. So what kind of license would they get?
So most of the special events that you see, or, you know, like, you know, the big events on the riverfront or mm-hmm. things like that, most of those are temporary event licenses. So a vendor is gonna send the paperwork in at least 5 business days in advance. They're going to pay the fee, which is $55 for a 1 to 3 day event. And then from there, we're going to go and inspect them. So we inspect all temporary events. We inspect before they open and start selling to the public to make sure, you know, that the temperatures are proper, they have proper sanitizer, they know exactly what they're doing, and that you, as a consumer walking up to that stand, you know, you're going to get safe food, which is ultimately our goal.
Yes. So when we have the Taste of Peoria, you sample and check all those vendors that are participating?
Yeah. So Taste of Peoria is one of those fun ones. So, our entire office, so we have a total of 12 inspectors, myself included. And so when Taste of Peoria happens, we'll take all those applications, we'll divide them up by 12. And, you know, so you might have 5-6 applications in this area, and you go and, like, you're in charge of those, and, you know, you're inspecting every one of them. That's one of those crazy ones, because, you know, there are a ton of people there. They have a deadline. They want to get open. People want to sell their food. People want to eat their food. Sometimes that puts a little pressure on us, like trying to get them, like, okay, hey, we got to do this to get you licensed. And that can be kind of a crazy event for us.
So you guys have to be there early so you can check all this stuff out before the crowd gets there.
Yeah, so we're usually there about 2 hours ahead of time.
Wow.
Starting. You know, I know for me, the first thing I do, if I have, let's say, 5 vendors, before I even start inspecting, I go to each booth. I go, do you have your proper sanitizer? Do you have your hand washing? Maybe it's a larger booth. Go, hey, I need you to have a second hand wash station. So I try and visit with each one of them really quick, mm-hmm. do a quick site visit or kind of evaluation to see if there's anything that they may be missing. I can send them off to go get it and then come back. And then that way I get them opened as fast as I possibly can.
Well, that's a comforting thought to know that all that preparation and checking goes into that before we go out there and pig out.
So, you know, that I always joke with people in this, you know, in this division. So we always look at like deliverables, you know, so we talk about different things and I did this many things and I did that many things. Ours, I always joke, are non-deliverables. So if we didn't have a foodborne illness outbreak or somebody ill, then we did what we were supposed to do. So we, you know, Environmental Health Division very much does non-deliverables. So, you know, if people didn't get sick, we did what we were supposed to do and we educated and we made sure the community was safe.
And not only did you do what you were supposed to do, the vendor did what they were supposed
to do.
Absolutely. Okay.
But, you know, any time you go to any of those large events, another great one, probably a lot of your listeners might attend the Juneteenth event. Mm-hmm. The last couple of years, I've had the joy of being there, have an absolute blast going. But before any of those food vendors even start selling, we've already been there. We've already done it. So we're very much behind the scenes, making sure that our community is safe.
That's good, because if they knew you were there, you know, they might get uneasy and think something's wrong, but you're there to make sure that nothing goes wrong.
Yeah, and just because you see the health department there standing, talking to them, mm-hmm. filling out paperwork, it's not a bad thing. If you go into a restaurant and you see us walking through and, you know, we're walking behind the cook line or, you know, down the bar or something like that, like we're doing our job. And at the end of the day, our job is to make sure our community is safe.
Okay. So in June, that's probably we'll see farmers markets start to open. You mentioned the one downtown and you mentioned the ones in Peoria Heights. Is the one on University? Is it Glenn Metro Center?
Yep, Metro Center. I think they're kind of already starting to have a little more. So I know they go almost every day. You know, farmers rent mm-hmm. space and they go out and set up there. So that's another one that you can go and mm-hmm. and frequent as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Justin. Before we close, is there anything that you want to tell the listeners that I may have forgotten to ask?
You know, Peoria City County Health Department, we are always available to help with food safety questions. If you ever have concerns or anything like that, reach out to our Environmental Health Division. Our main office number is 309-679-6161. And you can also reach us at eh@peoriacounty.org. We are always happy to answer questions for our community.
Okay. So they can call you at 309-679-6161, or they can email you at ehpeoriacounty.org?
Correct.
Okay. That's ehpeoriacounty.org. Okay, well, thank you so much, and I appreciate you coming to update us this time of the year. And I understand that the next time you come, you might be bringing a guest with you.
Yeah, we might look at bringing some more of our inspectors in or some other community partners and just keep pushing these conversations.
Because you said for the Riverfront event, there's a person who's in charge of that, Sharon Graham. But anyway, people have questions that we didn't answer. Feel free to call the Environmental Health Department where Justin works at 309-679-6161. You've been listening to How Do You Feel, the show that's dedicated to your health and wellness. Health and How Do You Feel is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department, and they always are actively engaged in activities and checking protocols and regulations to keep your health safe. This show airs at 11 a.m. on Saturday. It repeats at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, and if you missed the broadcast, you can go to the WPNV website and look for the podcast page and get the information. You would simply go to WPNV.org and look for podcasts. I want to thank Justin again for being here. And to the listeners, I'm your host, Lorraine King, and I hope that you tune in again next week.
Now is always the right time.